I'd like to call a meeting to order. The first order of business will be the public comment period. I do have Mr. Charles Lawler. I would like to address the board. If you could come forward, please.
I stepped out.
Chase?
Yeah. I'm Bob Chase with the Northern Virginia Transportation Line. Two of the better kept secrets may be, number one, that there actually is a Virginia Surface Transportation Plan, and number two, the public comment period on the 2035 version is actually open until July 30th. The draft plan is based upon V-Trans 2035 goals and priorities. However, the extent to which it represents the Commonwealth's best long-range transportation plan and strategies remains in doubt. In Northern Virginia, the draft projects the addition of 1.2 million people, 1.3 million jobs, and 63 million miles of daily VMT. It then focuses heavily on expanding the menu of public transit, rail, TDM, and other non-vehicular strategies with no indication as to the extent to which any or all will reduce that 63 million VMT figure. Is the VMT reduction 1, 3, or 5 million, or is it a larger number? Absent such numbers, it's difficult to assess the degree to which the draft addresses Northern Virginia's number one transportation challenge, which is congestion. Northern Virginia's multimodalism experience is instructive. Decades ago, decisions were made to promote transit and other options and drop key highway improvements. Today, our region greatly outpaces other parts of the Commonwealth and the nation in terms of the use of transit, rail, carpooling, TDM, and other alternative strategies. Yet we have the nation's second most congested highway network. Obvious missing 2035 priorities include I-66 inside the Beltway, regional bypasses to the east and west, and any new Potomac River bridges except for passenger and freight rail. Also missing are alternatives to Route 9 and US 15 connections to Maryland and West Virginia, respectively, or connections for Dulles Airport to the north, south, and west. But the plan identifies Dulles Airport as a major economic engine. What you didn't hear earlier from the Washington MPO today is that for more than a decade, it has prevented and forbidden its staff to study or test any new Potomac River crossings or suburb-to-suburb parkways or bypasses. It also has taken action to delay I-66 inside the Beltway improvements. So much for good regional guidance. The Virginia Statewide Transportation Plan contains good information and a lot of good recommendations in terms of road and transit, but it raises more questions than answers. It needs to be bolder, it needs to be more focused and more informative as to which investments best reduce congestion and move the most people in the most cost-effective manner. Until answers to these and other questions are known and fully vetted by the CTB, the draft Virginia Surface Transportation Plan should be labeled work in progress and not approved as a ready for prime time planning document. This board has done had a lot of good discussions in the second half of last year on transportation priorities, but I would say that you didn't complete your work, that you need to revisit these topics, and the 2035 statewide plan really needs to dig deeper into the answers of fundamental questions in terms of which strategies and investments really do produce the best transportation return on the investment of transportation dollars. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chase. Mr. Lawler.
Thank you. My name is Charles Lawler. I'm an attorney in Norfolk, Virginia, and I represent two contiguous landowners on agenda item 11B. This is the Franklin Turnpike Extension Road that is actually underway in construction. And they have a big concern about the resolution that's proposed for today because it's basically changing a right-in, right-out access that was approved in February of 08, but it doesn't solve a very serious problem, and that is the breakpoint is about 252 feet too close to the bypass. And they've retained engineers. They've gone through a lot of expense to address this issue in a pending matter in Danville Circuit Court. And we're hoping that it could be resolved with another look at this problem about the break, because this is a 1.26 mile project from Franklin Turnpike, North Main Street in Danville, to the bypass, 29. And it has a break on the Main Street end at a property called Roman Eagle. And this is another one that was requested. Originally, I think back in 01, there was a bridge that had originally been proposed to bridge Spring Lake Road. At least it's called Spring Lake Road on the plans we've seen. The city of Danville is calling the road American Legion. It was Walton Avenue, and it's a city street that is improved from North Main to a cul-de-sac right there near this new extension road. It was going to be bridged over the extension road at a cost of about $600,000 plus. Our clients went to the city, and coupled with the city, they were able to get VDOT to consider changing that at a cost savings of eliminating the bridge, which was about $600,000, and putting in a full four-way there at a cost of about $550,000. That was at least our client's understanding of how they left that discussion and meeting. What happened and what was approved by the board in February of 08, the resolution that's a part of the package in your materials, was a right-in, right-out only, and it changed the location by moving it 550 feet from where the new extension road intersects with what VDOT is calling the Spring Lake Road, an existing road. It's just unimproved. They moved it, or the board did, moved it 550 feet closer to the bypass. So that was the February 08 resolution. The problem with that is it brings it much, much closer to a detention pond that's already in construction. It's been dug out. In other words, all the site development work is underway for this project. Earth movers are out there. The access road, which I call an S road that comes off the new extension road, has been built, at least rough. So the problem is going to be that from the standpoint of commercial development for the city of Danville and for the property owners, and economic development in Danville is a pretty big issue these days, it's going to cause the property, which is zoned HRC commercial, to have to, in effect, move a detention pond that has already been constructed as far as rough construction is concerned, away from that area. And what the property owners understood had been negotiated and agreed back in before the resolution in 08 was that this four-way would be right where the connector road, the extension road, meets Spring Lake Road, which is an unimproved road. In other words, it's not paved, but it's been used. It's just simply not paved. So the problem is that got moved closer to the bypass, which really runs contrary to what you would think would be safe, because it needs to be the bypass when traffic is coming off the 29 connect a bypass and exiting onto the extension road, they're going to be going at a certain rate of speed and slowing down, and the further they have to lower their speed limit off that ramp, the safer their exit and their ability to turn into this commercially zoned property. Right now it's raw land, but it's zoned HRC. So the original location of this four-way was a much better location from the standpoint of the landowner, from the standpoint of the city, and should have been from the standpoint of VDOT. But for whatever reason, and we'll just call it a mistake, it got moved 550 feet closer to the bypass. And what the landowners would like to see is not only this resolution that's been proposed for consideration today to be adopted, changing the right-in, right-out limited access with no median break. This resolution you're looking at in your materials eliminates the limitation of a median and the right-in, right-out limitation by allowing at some future date the landowner or developer of the commercial property to ask VDOT for breaks and to, at the developer's expense, pay for that, which is okay. But the problem with this is they've got this detention pond on one side and a creek on the other side of this new connector road, and they're going to make that difficult, if not impossible. So, in effect, the landowners feel that this, if the road is constructed now, I would add that now is the time to do something, because we've been talking to a lot of engineers, and changes can be made now at this stage at minimal expense, something like $75,000 to rough that area back 252 feet, which is what they've asked for. When the road's constructed, certainly probably approaching $1 million to move the detention pond. Thank you.
Yes. Can we ask questions at this point? Or?
Yes.
What is it that your clients, the two landowners, want the board to do today with this resolution?
Well, what I'd like to see done is a resolution amended to change the location of the breaks to station 152. Right now they're at station 154 plus 42. Every station's 100 feet plus 42 is 42 feet. So that's 242 feet moving back towards North Main Street at a location that would allow the access roads coming off the new connection road, the Franklin Turnpike Extension Road, to not have to deal with the detention pond, which is for stormwater, and the creek, which got already moved on the other side.
Yes, then I would ask a question for the chair, I guess, or who's presenting this resolution?
I am going to ask Mr. Lawler to get with our chief engineer so that they can discuss this prior to it coming to the...
And then my question would be, do we have to have that location in the resolution? Is that something that could be worked out of?
I'd like for the chief engineer to talk to Mr. Lawler first, and then for the chief engineer when presenting to give us a recommendation.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
That's the chief engineer. Now, Carl is sitting there.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Quick Clement. I'm with the law firm Huntley Williams and represent the city of Danville. The city asked me to attend today's meeting. I don't think the issue is really in debate. I'll be very brief. Danville, like Martinsville and so many other areas in the South Side, are desperate for economic development. This is, I'm told, a developable tract. It's very near the Route 29 bypass, and that is what has caught the city's attention. VDOT has been great working with the city in bringing a resolution before you today that would permit a four-way intersection. That's the bottom line for the city. We don't mean to do any harm to the property owners, the developers, whoever they might be, but the city is just wants to see where that access both in and out, right and left, four-way interchange with a cut in the medium is preserved. we would appreciate you keeping that in mind in your deliberations and any action you take. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Mr. Chairman, question, Secretary Clinton.
Mr. Clinton,
does that mean he would prefer the resolution to stay as it is? Was that what I'm to derive from your comment?
I think it's accurate to say that the city really doesn't have the city doesn't want to get involved in the details of what any particular developer wants. The city wants to preserve the right for whoever owns the property to be able to have access, this break in access, four-way cross, right and left, each side. And what I think you will be voting on, it doesn't actually, there won't be any construction action to do that. It just preserves the right to do that when they do have a good prospect to develop that land.
If I could just, Mr. Clinton, just to clear up for the board, right now, as it's proposed, it's a right-in, right-out, only the developers and the city want a four-way, which is included in this resolution.
This resolution would accomplish what the city of Danville wants to
have accomplished. The city has no position on where
all the details.
The four-way goes. Okay.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay. Next agenda item is the approval of the minutes.
Move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. The next item is action to designate the Secretary of the Commonwealth, of Commonwealth Transportation Board. Typically, we would appoint the most senior member of the CTB as a secretary, and that is Mr. McCarthy. And I would ask on the tab one, and if there's a motion to
that. I move, considering he is obviously the most senior. I certainly move to appoint
I'd like to
the Honorable Gerald McCarthy.
But he's the most senior for secretary.
I did say senior on the CTB.
But I'd just like to know whether that means he's also the oldest.
That's what they were trying to
say. I'm pretty close, I'm sure.
Okay, so was there a second?
Second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Aye, Kevin.
Thank you.
Next item, Connie Sorrell, maintenance items. First item, Fredericksburg District Abandonment to the primary system.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. The first action is the result of some changes due to a primary road construction project to abandon 8/10 of a mile due to realignment. No impact to any citizens' access.
So move for approval.
Okay, second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Item three.
The next item is in the Culpeper District, and it relates to a project in Albemarle County on Route 20, and it amounts to a change of 0.07 miles being discontinued.
Motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Item two.
The next item has to do with the naming of a bridge over the CXS railroad tracks to be named the Mingles Bridge, Mingles Hill Bridge. We have a resolution from Stafford County Board of Supervisors recommending this naming.
Is there a motion?
So moved for approval.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And we have the next action of the board consideration is the naming of Route 208 from Ferncliff to its southern intersection with 522 and from the northern intersection of 208 to 522 in Louisa, Spotsylvania County line for V. Earl Dickinson, a former member of the legislature.
So move for approval.
And a former member of the House Transportation Committee and the chair of the House Appropriations
Committee.
Aye. 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 Aye.
Great.
Next item, traffic engineering, item 6, through truck restriction.
Last but not least, my duties today include bringing to you a through truck traffic restriction out in Carroll County. Off of the interstate, you'll see there's a map in your board book. We have an extremely dangerous, narrow, curvy road with bad pavement, and we've had over 10 tractor-trailer trucks stuck on this road in the last 2.5 years, which has required the road to be closed and trucks to be backed down. It's an extremely dangerous location, and we've done all the public hearings, worked with the local government, and proposed this alternative route for tractor-trailer trucks, or trucks of over 40 feet in length.
I and
approve. Mr. Chairman.
Scott.
Did we have the benefit of all of the comments from the public hearing?
Unfortunately, they're not in your book, in your about, I don't believe I didn't see them included. Let me just take a quick look.
May I address Ms. King's question? Ms. King, I either saw them or asked about them. Firstly, there were not many, and I don't remember any negative ones.
And we didn't have a resolution from the Carroll County Board, is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And is
yeah, I don't remember that there being any negative comments, but if I can certainly check and come back later. But
we don't analyze that there's adverse impact to businesses in certain sections of the county or anything.
Well, we do look. I mean, this is mostly, as I recall, it was a residential section of the route, and this only restricts trucks in excess of 40 feet. So trucks below that would still be able to travel it, even though it is a not an optimum route. But for the purpose of particularly tractor-trailer trucks trying to take a shortcut, you know, this is really not a very good situation, and Carroll County has requested this. And there are four criteria that the board sets out in another policy about through-truck traffic restrictions, and this particular restriction meets three of those four criteria. So I can certainly get some information for you, Mr. Keene, about the comments. I regret that I don't have them with me today.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I may.
Mr. Martin.
We can defer this until later, and I can check
once,
if you...
Again, the people who are being affected are wanting to change. It's a minor diversion for the trucks going into I forgot the numbers of the highway, but they are being diverted into four lanes, and it's I think less than a mile of inconvenience. The area where they are now, that's where the problem is. Winning public comment. It's, in other words, no commercial entities are being affected. It's all safety issues.
Yeah, that was my understanding. It was a residential area.
You're comfortable, and we have a motion and a second.
I think so at this point. I see this part of the restriction is on a primary route.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pursue that a little bit. That's Route 97.
It's a very small section.
I'm not familiar with that section, but I was. I think I'm comfortable with it.
Okay. All right, we have a motion, and there is a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, ayes have it.
Thank you very much.
The next item would be local assistance, Division Julie Brown, Economic Development Access Program.
Okay. First item we have is a request for funding through the Economic Development Access Program. Louisa County Board of Supervisors has requested funding under the bonded project concept to provide road access to the Ferncliff Business Park. This is a bonded project, meaning there is no named industry, but they're building a road to attract industry. The project includes providing a turn lane on Route 250 and constructing the entrance road into the park. The estimated cost of the project is $895,700. Staff recommends the maximum allocation be made to Louisa County with $650,000 for this project.
I move it to adoption.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Thank you. item 8, recreational access.
Okay. This request is from Warren County to provide access to the Front Royal Golf Club. This is a county-owned recreational facility that includes a public golf course as well as a public boat ramp. The project is estimated to cost $250,000. It is a recommendation to provide them the maximum recreational access allocation unmatched of $250,000.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Four. Okay. Item is approved. Item number 9.
Okay. This is a request for an agreement between VDOT and U.S. Forest Service. Congress provided an earmark of funds for a trail project to Bland County, and originally Bland County was going to administer this project. Since that time, Bland County and the U.S. Forest Service have both agreed that the U.S. Forest Service should take over the administration of this project. We do have a resolution from Bland County requesting this transfer be made. U.S. Forest Service, since they are a federal agency, they can receive the federal funds directly. This resolution is to grant the commissioner authority to enter into the agreement with the U.S. Forest Service to transfer this allocation to them for this project.
Move the adoption.
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Item is approved. Right-of-way division, Richard Bennett. Action on surplus property.
Yes, sir. Action number 10 is the disposal of surplus right-of-way that is no longer needed for the project. Item number A is in the Bristol District. It is a small piece of land just to the west of St. Paul. Anybody has any specific questions?
Okay. Is there a motion to approve?
This is to be sold to adjacent landowner?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Move approved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Item B?
Yes, sir. Item B is in Mecklenburg County in the Richmond District. It's a piece of land located just to the east of Bracy.
Move approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Yeah, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Item approved. Item C?
Item C is in the Richmond District, also in Chesterfield County. It was a piece of excess right-of-way that was left over from the reconstruction of the Walthall Interchange.
Move approval.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Item is approved. Item D?
Item D is in the city of Norfolk, and it's a piece of property that was acquired in connection with the Route 264 Military Highway Interchange, and the land is now needed by HRT to incorporate into a parking lot for one of their stations.
Move approval.
Okay, accept. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And item is approved. Action on limited access, item A.
Yes, sir. Item A is a proposed limited access change to create a break between a service road and the main line of Route 58. It's connected with the Martinsville Speedway and is a limited access break only to be used during the events held at that track in order to better maintain traffic control and incident management.
I move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Item is approved. Now 11B is the item that Mr. Lawler spoke on.
Yes, sir. Item B is a change in the February 8th limited access resolution, as Mr. Lawler indicated that originally the plans was to build a overpass for this roadway, and at a later date it was determined at a request of the city of Danville for economic development, you know, that the location be shifted to the location that the board approved in February in order that an at-grade intersection could be constructed. At that time, the board limited that access break to right-in, right-out only. Since that time, we've met with the property owners and as indicated, looked at various alternatives of this situation here, and with the support of the city of Danville, determined that this intersection should be allowed to be a full intersection if and when the economic development in the area would warrant that type of traffic movement. So the resolution before you is to change the limited access brake from a right-in, right-out only to allow it to be a full movement intersection at such time as those warrants would justify. We did after working with the property owners. We are in litigation with Mr. Lawler's clients under eminent domain. We're asking you to consider this at this meeting because we have some trials that are scheduled for August, which would be affected by this change and the possible jury's decision on, you know, damages to his client's properties.
I have discussed. The property, since I came on the board about 3 months ago, I've been contacted by the property owner numerous times about the upcoming lawsuit with VDOT, their desire to get this resolved. And my understanding is they're waiving any monetary compensation for the property in exchange for this four-way. And if they want this four-way to be further down, because it meets up with a currently existing right-of-way with the road that gives access to both parties in the litigation on either side, that meets up with a road that's a dirt road, but it already has the access there, and it does not involve doing anything with the pond. What is the problem with putting the four-way, and apparently there was a big fight over the four-way for years as well. Finally, we're willing to go give the four-way instead of the right-in, right-out. What is the hold-up on the location of the four-way?
You know, as you know, it's very rolling terrain out there, and it's my understanding from the engineers is that the location of where the existing dirt road, you know, servicing this property is, you know, that it would not work well for grades. Now, I heard Mr. Lawler said it was only $73,000, but that's not the understanding that I've received from VDOT's engineers that have evaluated, you know, that location and, you know, consider it. You know, so it would be a matter of how much grading work would be required in order to make an intersection at that location as opposed to where it was re-engineered to by VDOT.
But under this resolution, aren't the landowners going to have to pay for it, the grading?
The landowners would have to pay for whatever internal site work that they have. What we're doing as part of the current project is restoring a connection to that existing roadway on the, I believe, the north side of the property that way there. Any improvements for, you know, development would be part of what the landowners would do normally, you know, under the process there. We're not proposing to build the median at this time because there is no development plan pending for that, but this would facilitate, you know, VDOT accepting a request from the adjoining property owners and processing that, and if it warrants, issuing a permit for that construction.
And they're going to pay for it, so what difference is it to VDOT if we move it down further where the people involved in the litigation would prefer it to be further down off the ramp?
Well, all I can say is that our engineers have evaluated that location and have some, you know, concerns about that. You know, we moved it to a location where we felt, you know, met the existing situation, you know, at the best point. There is nothing that prevents the property owners, you know, in the future, now that they have an access break, you know, to come back to the CTB, you know, with a full development plan, you know, and ask that it be moved to that location with all the other site development work that they may be doing. You know, but our, you know, our current plans is, and our eminent domain action is, you know, to place it down at this location, and that's what we end up going to, you know, trial on.
How will this affect that trial?
If the board approves this, then this should help mitigate any perceived damages to the residual properties of the property owners, or at least that would be our argument, whereas the other side would argue the other side.
And will the issue of where it's located be a factor in litigation if we
not in the current litigation, sir?
Was the meeting, we allowed to, was the meeting with our engineer did not generate any movement on this matter?
To be honest with you, no. If you look in your package, you have a letter from the city manager requesting us to do this, and the fact that it's under litigation, I can't recommend to the board not to move forward in this. And I'm not aware that anybody's offered to drop any sued against those or anything on that. And unfortunately, our attorney's not here right now, so I didn't have an opportunity to talk to our representative on that. So I would recommend, from what I see now, that we move forward on this.
Yeah, I will say that we have had a formal mediation with the landowners and multiple meetings with the engineers and the landowners to try to resolve this, and our intent would be to continue those conversations and try to resolve this before, you know, we go to, you know, court in August and place this before a jury. But we have no firm settlement proposal at this time.
There,
I'm sorry. Let's speak.
But if it's passed as it's written here today, down the road that we can reconsider and move.
Yes, sir.
How does that affect what you are? It gets corrected. Drawing up what you're, isn't construction about to begin?
Well, construction is underway, and we would continue and build this minor access road, you know, to reconnect that road, you know, as it's presently configured, because there is no contemplated use for the project, and that's, you know, in the current, you know, contract. But it is a road that, you know, of a standard, of the lower level of standards there, that would not be, you know, able to be incorporated within a future development plan if you're considering something highly commercial in nature this way here. So you would be able to consider it. The board has already determined that it's been acceptable to have a access break, you know, at that point or in that general vicinity, and as long as the other location was processed and met the same safety standards, and we certainly would not have any problems with that.
So I apologize to the board. This is one in my district I've been getting calls on from various sides and dealing with for the full 3 months. Then my other question then, is this being done just to help with damages for the lawsuit? My understanding, I got a call from Mr. Hardison this morning that he had not seen the resolution. His attorney had not seen the resolution. I don't know when it was put in front of the board to be brought up as far as our agenda. And is this just being done to help the Commonwealth in the lawsuit?
I don't think it's just being done for that. It has been the request of the landowners that the access point be a full movement access in this area. The city of Danville has recognized for economic development purposes that it should be a full movement access point in the future. And if it is going to be a full movement access point in the future, we would rather present that fact to the jury as opposed to a right-in, right-out as it currently exists today.
Why did it take months before the jury trial that you finally gave in and gave them a four-way when they've been asking for that for approximately 7 years? And here we are a month before the jury trial, and now you're here without giving much notice to the landowners that you want, that you're going to agree to the four-way, but you're not going to put it where they want it.
The acquisition of property through eminent domain is a very drawn-out affair, to be honest with you. It's very each side has their, you know, positions, and our engineers are not necessarily, you know, in favor that this is the greatest thing in the world, but they have been accepted it as a reasonable alternative position. But we have gone to mediation. We have put our offer on the table early on, and it is just the, as you get closer to trial, that the people start talking more earnestly, unfortunately.
Well, the mediation, you never offered the four-way.
That was discussed at the mediation, and obviously it was subject to the CTD approval, so it's not something that we could offer, you know, at that point in time, other than the fact that we would be willing to bring it, you know, to the CTD, but we cannot, you know, guarantee y'all's action.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Let's go, Mike.
We've all had individual projects or decisions that sort of fit in this category. I just wanted to make sure that my colleagues understand my comments I'm about to make is very positive, is that the CTB certainly has a set of responsibilities and decisions to make in these cases, but in most cases, there are a lot of other decisions to be made at different times. You know, I'm satisfied that there are some questions that we cannot answer today about this particular situation, but I am confident that they will, as you suggested in your presentation, be answered in the future by actual development plans, by additional actions that will be taken both at the city level, by individual landowners and developers and by this body. So I'm not as fearful that somehow we're going to make a wrong decision that's irreversible here, and that us moving this forward is probably the best thing that we should do at this point.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to have clarified, if the primary purpose of the resolution is to approve the four-way access as opposed to the right-in and right-out, is that the primary purpose of our action today?
Yes, sir. That's the only purpose of your action.
And that is better for all parties involved?
I believe so.
Mr. Rich?
Mr. Chairman, without a technical question, does the four-way cut degrade the transportation function of the facility?
We've looked at it, pretty carefully after the city made the initial request back in February and determined that it did not change the service. Now, development in the area, obviously, it was already anticipated in some of the models, for the corridor. So whether or not they come out to be the same level as those models or not will be the proof in the future.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just to further on Mr. Rich's question, we have standards and criteria for access breaks. Is this compatible with all those standards?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll second Mr. Kulai's motion. I don't think that was formally done, so.
Okay.
Doug, you did make the motion.
I think I missed it. Your motion was, Mr. Kulai?
Mr. Chairman, I'd certainly like to defer to my colleague if he prefers to make a motion.
Okay.
You want it approved?
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I do not believe I have a motion on the table.
No.
I withdraw my second.
You have an intention, but no motion.
So there is no motion on the table.
I'd like to go back one more time to the comment that Mr. Davis made. Please. Would you please, sir?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I would repeat my question, and that was the primary purpose of the resolution was to offer the four-way cut as opposed to right in, right out. And it was good for everybody. And the answer was yes to my question.
And may I follow up on that, please?
Yes, Ms. Carter.
So therefore, we are not stating where the location of the four-way stop would be. We would be approving a resolution that would approve a four-way stop in that area.
The location was determined by your February action. So, you're not changing that location by this resolution, but that location is currently fixed until some additional.
Ms. Peake.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. The resolution that was passed back in 08 was right in, right out. And so that's where it was put in that letter. Can we amend the resolution to leave out where the four-way goes? I think Mr. Davis is correct that everybody wants the four-way. The issue at this point is where the four-way is going to be located. As he has stated, that can be brought up later before the board. Can we just vote on approving a four-way intersection for this and amend the resolution to that effect?
Commissioner, if I may, the location, as I mentioned, Mr. Carter, was set by, it is set at a certain station as marked on the exhibit in your booklet there, and that will be the basis that we go to trial next month. And this is hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of, money up in the air that could be put before a jury if we cannot resolve it before, the trial, takes place. So, it's not to say that, the action of the board cannot move it at a future date here, but, it would go to court that it is at that location and it's either right in, right out, or full movement.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Ms. Coleman.
In deference to my colleague, but also so we can move on with the agenda, and understanding that there will be additional decisions we will be making, and that this resolution, at least from my point of view, is an extension of the actions the board has taken over the last couple of years. I'd like to move the passage of this resolution.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion?
Mr. Chairman, as part of this discussion, I think it would be good to get a review for the board, the policy on the access break, because it seems like we're dealing more and more and more with these limited access breaks, when in fact these roads that we build with limited access cost us more to build because on the purchases we're making. If we're just going to turn around and give the break, then we've got maybe re-examine whether we want limited access or not, because it's going to cost us more, but if we're going to give it up, then we're wasting money.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, at the risk of complicating this further, I would like to have one other question partially answered, at least. The litigation itself, that obviously cost everybody thousands of dollars. Is it over where the location is of it, or is it much more complicated than that as far as eminent domain and the cost of property and so forth? That's what the suit is more about.
The majority of this suit is not regarding land value. It's regarding the damages to the residual properties of the landowners, and that damages is controlled by what type of access they have to their property, you know, in the future. It should be no doubt that the construction of Franklin Turnpike out in rural territory is an enhancement to the entire area and to the entire city, you know, of Danville, but within the eminent domain taking side of it, you're looking at whether or not our taking of that corridor through the property has damaged that residual, and obviously, you know, the landowners and their representatives feels like it has, and to be honest with you, we feel like it's been enhanced. So we're on those extremes.
I was just trying to get a feeling for the value of where that location is as to the total nature of the lawsuit. It's a small part, in other words.
It's a very critical part. The access to the property is, you know, is the hundreds of thousands of dollars part of this case.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to second what Mr. Keene has said. I think maybe we should have a workshop or something on these breaks and access, because, you know, we go to all this trouble to have a certain level of service, so we reduce congestion, and then we start paring it back. And as my colleague Peter knows, I mean, in Warrenton, our county seat, we had to do a bypass around the bypass because we kept making the cuts. So maybe if we could have a more thorough discussion on what our policy is, that would be helpful in the future.
All right. I will make certain that's another agenda item on a future meeting. Okay. I have a motion that's been seconded for approval of the this resolution. Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
And the ayes have it.
Mr. Commissioner, the next item, item C, is in the Northern Virginia District. It's in Fairfax County, and this limited access change is not a break in limited access. It's just a change in the location of limited access. It's in connection with the Dulles Metro Rail Extension Project. It's a design-build project, and I brought to the board before some changes along the Dulles Access Road, and these are three additional spots that we request y'all approve the changes.
Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Okay. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I have approved. And next item, action item 12.
Yes, sir. This is in the Hampton Roads District in the city of Norfolk. And once again, it's in connection with the HRT project. It's separately because we are changing both limited access and declaring that the right-of-way resulting from that be declared surplus. The connection with the HRT project is that this area, which is a wide spot in the military highway right-of-way, is needed to reconstruct a private property lot in order that they can complete the construction of an HRT parking lot. So we would recommend that y'all's approval of this action.
Move approved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
I am approved. Thank you very much. Tom, before you come up, this next item is dealing with the base realignment closure, and you also heard a presentation on that this morning. What I'd like to do at this point is introduce Rene Rico. Rene is our division administrator for FHWA, and one of these items she had asked to be put on the agenda today. Rene is new in her position. She's been there about six months. And I just want to introduce her to the board. We work a lot with FHWA, and I just want to introduce her to the CTB.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here today. Thank you, Chris. Okay.
Tom?
Thank you, Commissioner. Item 13 is a resolution that would authorize the Commissioner to enter into a memorandum of agreement with the Army and Federal Highway Administration for the construction of the roundabout at Fort Lee that I described in the workshop.
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. That's approved. Item 14.
Item 14 is asking for approval of a limited access control change on I-95 to allow the construction of the Defense Access Road HOV ramp into the engineering proving grounds that I described in the workshop. I'll remind you that your approval is contingent upon FHWA approval of the interchange justification report.
Move this approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's approved. Thank you very much. We also now have Kevin Page. This is action on the rail industrial access. This was presented during the workshop session.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Item is approved. Thank you very much. Item 16, Steve Pitter. Corey Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the board, Corey Hill, Chief of Public Transportation for DRPT. Mr. Pitter couldn't be with us this afternoon. The resolution before you speaks to purchasing an additional locomotive for VRE. We have been working with VRE over the past few years to update their aged locomotive fleet. You all approved last month some funding in the six-year program to help them buy additional locomotives, but after that action, the locomotive manufacturer came back to VRE and said, you know what, we're going to change models next year, and if you can find any more money, we'll give you another locomotive at an extremely attractive price, better than the price they already had contractually with VRE. So we have worked in the last couple of weeks with VRE to identify additional federal funds and additional local funds. What's being asked of you today is to help us program some additional state funding that would help them purchase another locomotive. This would be the 19th locomotive out of 20 that they are ultimately looking to replace. The board has given the director authority to enter into these kinds of arrangements if it's under $200,000, but it's being brought before you today because the amount that's being asked to grant to VRE from state funds is about $478,000. So that's the action that's requested.
Move the adoption.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Item is approved. Thank you very much. The next item is Rita Busher, and this is on authorization for revenue refunding.
Yes, each year we come to you in July to get approval for the possibility of refunding bonds depending on the marketplace and if we deem that any significant cost savings could be realized from a refunding. We just did an overview or an update of our refunding possibilities, and at this time there are just three issues that would generate a little over about $2.5 million, and at this point that's not significant enough to warrant the expense of a refunding. So especially with the market as volatile as it is, by the time you prepared a bond issue for market, it's moved. So we are not recommending it at this time, but your approval will allow us to bring something forward to the Treasury Board when and if that opportunity arises.
So this is extending the approval that this board had approved this previously, and it ran out on June 30th, 2010?
Yes, we do it in July of each year.
Okay, so this extends that original approval.
I move the adoption.
Okay. Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Rita, programming our light rail?
Yes. We had, this board had approved a list of contingency projects for the use of surplus ARRA funds once we got bids on projects. As you know, we've been experiencing some savings, and you had approved at the yard at $10 million as a contingency project. That project did not work to go forward. We are requesting that ARRA funds in the amount of $10 million be moved to the Norfolk Light Rail project for scope additions. We need to amend the six-year program for that, and that's what this resolution is requesting.
Move approval.
Second.
Mr. Chairman, a question. Is it possible that any of these surplus funds could be used for early design and expenses on a project as opposed to actual construction, or does it have to be actual construction?
No. Design or PE is available, but at this time we're slipping this in at the kind of the end of the process for getting all the funds, including the surplus funds that have recycled through advertisements and awards. We have to be fully obligated of all our money by September 24th, and we're really running up against the calendar because it has to be added to the program, approved by the CTB, a TIP and a STIP, governor certification, and in this case, we're also flexing the funds to the FTA.
The reason I say the question is there's several projects on intersections on Interstate 81 that if they just had some beginning planning money would put them in a position to be shovel ready, and I just don't want to put $10 million on one project and overlook three or four others that could be brought to a stage where we could be ready to do something. You're familiar with all those.
I am. I'm recommending at this time we don't have the flexibility or the time to change and try to get multiple. I'm recommending two projects come forward today. One is Norfolk Light Rail and GRTC buses, which is the request of Richmond MPO. We are very aware that PE and some design to get some shelf projects going is going to be critical in the future to keep our program moving so that we can maximize our federal dollars. We are looking at that capability now. Next funding opportunities could be the bonus OA authority that we'll be notified of in September. We also are submitting a couple of Tiger two grant projects that you might be interested in. We're looking at corridor safety improvements on I-81, and I'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes.
I'll just be your concern.
Absolutely. That's perfectly fine. I appreciate it.
Okay. I believe we have a motion and a second.
It's off the question.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Thank you very much. Don Salick, do you have another one? Scheduling and contracts.
Good afternoon, sir. I have two action items today. One is a resolution that grants the commissioner the authority to award a project that is expected to be above $2 million and during the August recess. The resolution is identical to the one passed about a year ago for the ARRA projects, so we're presenting that for your consideration.
Mr. Chairman, Meadowfield Interchange is an example of something that we really did right, VDOT really did right, and really worked well with Chesterfield County. A year ago, this was a gleam, albeit one of some years standing in their mind's eye. But a year ago, the governor gave approval to use some money from the Transportation Opportunity Fund, I believe. Chesterfield has chipped in actually the majority of the money for this project, and here we are a year later approving it. I just think it's wonderful, and I'm delighted to be able to move this resolution.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The item is approved. Thank you very much.
I also bring before you today 19 projects valued at about $290 million. We have 9 regular projects from the June advertisement, 1 VDOT design-build project, 1 TAMS contract, 2 locally administered contracts. We have a VDOT project that we need dual action on, rescind and award, and then we have 4 projects from a special ad that we had in July. So I would like to present these as type of projects, if that's all right, sir.
I'm sorry, you'd like to present those as?
As we go through the different types of projects and types of action. On page 1, we start with the interstate projects. We have 2 interstate projects there. Also on page 2, we have an interstate project, and this project is for the 11 bridge structures on I-95. Before we take any action on these interstate projects, Mr. Tom Hawthorne, the division administrator for the Richmond District, is here and would like to present something to the board.
Thank you, Don. I just want to take a moment and highlight the project that Mr. Siles has just asked the board to award, and that is the Interstate 95 Bridge Rehabilitation Project. This is a project that is going to be it's a large project. It's going to be a long-term project, about 4 years. And it does culminate almost 20 years' worth of work in the Richmond District rehabilitating and restoring all of the bridges on the main line of the old Richmond-Petersburg Turnpike. And this will complete that effort that we've been working on for about almost now 20 years. The CTB is asked to award the project today to Archer Western Contractors of Atlanta, Georgia, it's approximately a $68 million project. It is slightly under our estimate for the work. The scope of the work is a little bit unique in that we're taking the entire deck and superstructure elements off of each of these 11 bridges and completely replacing it. And we're doing it in a way that minimizes the impact of traffic. We'll be removing segments of the deck at night between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m., replacing that segment of deck overnight with a precast section that's been built elsewhere off-site, brought in and set in place, and then reopen Interstate 95 to traffic the next morning at 6 a.m. This is the same technique that we use for reconstruction of the James River Bridge right out here approximately 10 years ago. It will be a long-term project. There will be impacts to traffic, but those impacts, we believe, are mitigated by our construction technique. There's one other point that I want to highlight, and that is that we believe this project will have a significant impact to the local economy. Again, it's a $67 million project. It has a number of other associated economic impacts with it. And just to highlight those points, we believe it will generate a one-time economic impact to Richmond and Henrico County of about $166 million, bring about 150 jobs per year to the region as a result of the construction of the project. There are both direct jobs resulting from the project as well as trickle-down jobs in the local economy. It'll renew the lifespan of these bridges that are in excess of 50 years old and extend the life of those bridges for hopefully another 50 to 75 years, and preventing us from some significant maintenance cost in the near future by virtue of the fact that we are restoring these bridges today. And we estimate that it will generate about $2.3 million in tax revenue and fiscal benefits for the state and about $200,000 to the local governments in tax revenue. With me today is Scott Fisher, who will be the project manager on the job. Scott, if you'll raise your hand. And the economic impact study was done by Chamora Economics and Analytics, and Christine Chamora is in the audience today, too. So with that, unless there's any questions, I'll turn back to
Chairman.
Mr. Siles.
Mr. McCarthy.
Tom, could you just geographically locate the length of this project for us?
Yes, sir. The southernmost bridge is the Lombardi Street Bridge. That would be just north of the Belvedere, where the old Belvedere interchange would be. That's the most complicated bridge of the whole project to replace. The northernmost bridge is the Upham 95 over Upham Brook, which is just inside of Henrico County. So that's about 7 miles north of Lombardi Street.
Mr. Chairman, I noted Tom said this was a slight savings.
Yeah.
I looked at it as $98 million projected, $67 million cost. I like his definition of slight.
Well, I would qualify that, sir. The total cost of the project, including construction, engineering, and contingencies, is estimated at about $105 million. Our total project cost in the budget is $120 million, so there's about a $15 million savings overall.
That's a little different than what's on the paper. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I might also say, having heard complaints for some years, Tom and I both, about the washboard on 64 between Parham Road and Bryant Park, that's being repaved as we speak, or at least at night it is. 295 is being repaved. The Huguenot Bridge is out for bids, which will come in next month, and we hope will act favorably on another good bid in September to replace the Huguenot Bridge. We just approved a resolution regarding Meadowville Exchange, and now we have $105 million project to shore up the I-95 central arterial through the north-south highway through Richmond. There's a lot of construction going on in the Richmond district this summer and for the next couple of years or so, and I would be remiss if I didn't publicly commend Tom for making that process as easy as possible for me to do this, because we're going to hear some complaints, I suppose, from people who might say, oh, gosh, they're paving again. Well, we all know that there's 100 times more complaints about rotten roads than there are about being inconvenienced temporarily. And these fixes will last for a long, long time. So it's a lot of money. This $68 million actual construction is one of the biggest projects done around here in a while. And Huguenot Bridge, I trust, will be less than that, but that'll still be a big project. So congratulations, Tom, and thank you,
sir,
very much publicly.
Mr. Chairman, this is some of the most positive conversations we've had in a long time, and I think we miss a lot sometimes when we don't recognize we are awarding contracts every month that have an impact throughout this state in a positive way, and we should toot our own horn, because nobody's going to do that for us. In this arena here, these are just contracts we've had today, but I believe last October we had 119 bridges that we were letting contracts on, not on that day, but over that period of time. And it might be time to bring back just a report on those 119. You're adding 11 to it today with all the bridges, so we're attacking some of the problems. And that's a positive thing that we need to focus on, I think, as part of the message, because everybody loves the negative story.
Oh,
and the
good
potholes that busted the wheel.
Right.
But this is good.
Good point.
Okay. I wanted to bring that project to your attention. Ms. Sally, is there anything else in here unique, or is it possible for the board to take these as a block? I know you're interested in time, but I'll leave that up to you.
Make the motion.
I'll make the motion that we approve these all.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Ayes have it. Item is approved. Thank you very much. Under new business, we have, and I apologize, this being, not having a meeting in August, we were scrambling to get a number of things on the agenda. So we have about four or five items. I believe you have been given probably all but two of those items, and we'll go through those in a few minutes.
Do we approve all the contracts, or just the interstate ones?
I thought we approved all of them.
I meant all of them.
But, Mr. Chairman, do you need specific action on the one that you're rescinding as an individual?
Don?
Sorry?
There's a question. Do we need individual approval on the ones that we were rescinding?
Do you need specific direct action on one item if, on the rescinding of that motion?
Yes, that was a contract that we awarded in December of 2009. The contractor did not meet his DBE requirement, went through a panel hearing, and he could not prove good faith efforts in trying to secure DBE. We made award to the second bidder. The second bidder, we had planned to award to him. The first bidder took us to court. We were in a lawsuit for several months. During the time all this was going on, we found out some information that perhaps the second bidder had also not met his DBE requirement. We reanalyzed the information that he had submitted, and indeed he had not met his DBE requirement by the terms of the specifications on it. So we would like to reject all bids, rescind the award from the second bidder, which was General, and to reject all bids. And our plan is, if you take that action, to re-advertise the project later this month.
Okay. And which page was that?
I'm sorry. That is on
page 10, 11.
There's two actions. On page 10 is the rescind of award to General Excavation. Page 11 is the rejection of all bids. The third bidder could not meet his DBE requirement, too. We're so far down in it. The bids are so old. We think it is a prudent thing to do to reject all bids, re-advertise.
So you need a motion.
The market is conducive to getting good bids right now.
So I move approval.
All right, is there a second?
Seconds are received.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Move to re-advertise. You need that motion?
We'll re-advertise on the 27th of this month.
Okay. Okay, the next item are the some new business item. They're in the back of your packet. The first one is on the Southeast High Speed Rail Corridor Development. Mr. McCarthy.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Mr. Chairman, this is a resolution that I promised you all I would introduce last month. At today's meeting, I want to say that in the 4 weeks since our last meeting, I want again publicly to thank Thelma Drake and Kevin Page, Dan Lisi of the Richmond Metropolitan Planning Organization, Mayor Jones and his staff of the City of Richmond, and Dana Dickens, one of our fellow board members, for all their comments and constructive dialogue and discussion over the past several weeks to confirm and clarify our clear intention, reaffirming the board's longtime commitment to high-speed rail in the 95 corridor through Main Street Station, while at the same time allowing, I'm sorry that the TV reporter left and missed this because their story yesterday didn't quite get it 100% accurately, but we are by this resolution reaffirming a long-standing commitment of the board to high-speed rail through Main Street Station in Richmond and further going on to encourage all parties that I mentioned heretofore to work together not only to find state funds through the General Assembly, but also to unite our congressional delegation to seek federal funds so that we in fact have high-speed rail not only through the 95 corridor, but also eventually serving the Norfolk part of the corridor as well. And so I would move this resolution and hope for your endorsement.
I'll second that. The next comment, and also thank Mr. McCarthy for all his efforts. And I know Dana had to leave early, but we appreciate and reaffirm that Hampton Roads very much wants to work with the Commonwealth, with the City of Richmond and everyone to get high-speed rail to downtown Richmond. The other part of that is we do appreciate, though, trying to get this interim step, the conventional rail, that will service a million people on the south side. And we also would hope that we would work together to try to find the money, the $600 million that we need to get the tracks that lead to downtown in that resolve, too. So I wholeheartedly second what Mr. McCarthy has said.
Thank you. Mr. Pete.
And I also want to speak in favor of your resolution and approve it. I want to state I am in favor of rail wherever we can put it. But I want to caution the board members of what I heard on Sunday, I guess. I'm a Republican, let me just go ahead and tell you that, but a lot of the more righter Republicans seem to be against high-speed rail, speak out against it frequently. There's a state program. It's not Americans for Prosperity, but it's some group along those lines who are completely anti-tax, and they talk about rail being government-funded and government-subsidized and government-paid for, and it loses, and if you had to do it private, you would lose, and you shouldn't do it because it's not private enterprise. And we cannot miss the opportunity to tell them, what do they think the gasoline engine is with oil that's protected, with gas, with car companies that are protected, with roads that are paved? If we're not funding the transportation industry with automobiles, with government subsidies, paving the roads, doing the roads. So anyway, I want everybody to be on the lookout for these attacks from the anti-tax people that rail is somehow bad because government pays for it. You have rail in D.C., the metro rails, all these subways that are funded by the government that's no more subsidizing than we are automobiles and airplanes with their airports that are paid for by the cities or subsidized by the government. I am for your high-speed rail, or any rail, even if it's not high speed, as we would like. But as a board, I think we need to be on the lookout for these attacks that come from various areas. And public transportation is important, and just because there's some government money going into it does not mean it couldn't make it as a private industry or it should make it, but we're subsidizing every mode of transportation, whether people realize it or not, and I support your resolution.
Well said.
I listened this morning to the mayor's presentation, and I heard a very astute presentation on his part because he avoided one issue that's not mentioned in the resolution or in any discussion whatsoever, and I wonder who else noticed it, that contribution from the city of Richmond as far as where this station might be located within its jurisdiction was never mentioned. Every other source of revenue was talked about, but not a contribution from the city of Richmond. And when you start trying to decide where within a city you want something to be, you might think that that would always be a consideration. But I didn't raise this issue then, and I simply chatted my colleague a little bit that perhaps that should be somewhere at least hinted at, that perhaps that would be another source of revenue.
I'm not sure I understand the concern. The location that was established 100 and some odd years ago, and the city has generously supported Main Street Station, and it's a national historic treasure, and the MPO this has been a top regional priority for 15 years at least that I'm aware of. So the region, not just the city, but the whole MPO, it's one of their striking examples of regional cooperation, including hard, cold cash. So I'm not sure where, Jim, you're going with that, but they have done their part. And the one that hasn't done too much until fairly recently is the state government. And that's the thing we got to look at over the coming years is more investment in rail by the state government.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Is there a motion?
I made it.
I'm sorry. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you. That item is approved. Next item is Rita Busha for its ARRA funding of GRTC bus replacement project to be included in the six-year program.
Yes, we've been working with the MPOs as well on their ARRA projects, looking at balances that are savings from awards and looking at making sure that we will get contingencies on ARRA projects also obligated. We're concerned that we don't want to wait until September and determine that there is a savings that we can't get reobligated in time. So we're trying to be proactive and reviewing contingencies on our projects and moving those to other projects. One thing that Richmond MPO recently did was they identified some of their project ARRA project savings, and they would like to reapply that to a purchase of GRTC buses, bus replacements. So this resolution, if approved, would add that project to the six-year program so that we can continue to get the tip and stip and the governor's certification in time to get it obligated by September 24th.
I move approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. That item is approved. Rita, I believe you have the next item. I guess this is our project. Hybrid vehicle.
It's not ARRA. This is just a request by the City of Falls Church through the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority to add a project to the six-year program to procure hybrid vehicles. They will be using CMAC funds to make that happen.
Okay. Move its approval, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Item is approved. The next item, Rita, Interstate 81.
Yes. We were able to identify approximately $1.1 million in interstate maintenance and funding that could be transferred to a Bristol project for design. It's UPC 17745. It's I-81 interchange improvements at exit 14. They're ramp modifications. So this would start... This would fully fund the design portion of that project, and we recommend approval of the resolution, which would transfer funds and create that new project in the six-year program.
I move approval. Is there a second? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, item is approved. The next one, Rita, I believe you have that approval of our project.
I'm sorry. What this is a request, since we do not have a CTV board meeting in August. We did a similar request when we had another obligation deadline for ARRA funding, where this resolution would allow the Transportation Commissioner to award ARRA projects that come in between this board meeting and September.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Item is approved. Now, I believe we have another item.
Mr. Chairman, before we go on to that, just had a quick question. On these ARRA funds, do they have to go through the statutory formula, or is that completely outside that framework?
I'm sorry, do they have to go through?
Through the statutory formula?
Are you saying?
No.
No, they're outside of that.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. The next item is Washington Boulevard. Mal, you have that one? Richard?
This is a request that has come up for a action by the for to indicate your intention as opposed to actually granting a limited access break. This is a location at the route Columbia Pike, Route 27 interchange there to Pentagon and the Arlington National Cemetery, which is adjacent to that. The federal government is in the process of rebuilding the maintenance facility with the changes to the Arlington National Cemetery, and has a need to utilize a portion of VDOT's property in order to complete that facility. VDOT's engineers has reviewed the plans for that and determined that we do have enough right-of-way that we could accommodate their wall and perimeter security area within our right-of-way for that. The Army has not complied with the administrative code as far as what's required for the board to grant a limited access break, and they are moving forward with that action. But because they are in a contract and it's critical to their construction, they would like the board to indicate that, that provided that they comply with all of the provisions of the Administrative Process Act, that you would, in the future, you grant this limited access break.
Okay. Move its approval, Mr. Chairman. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Item is approved. Thank you very much. We have one last, two other items on the new business. This is a change to the six-year program, and it's related to the Tiger grant application. Those applications are due 23rd. July 30th. And these are some items that we need your approval so we can submit those applications.
Yes, sir. This part of the Tiger II process is it's a grant process, though it's different from the Tiger I in that there's a 20% match. What DRPC and I are doing today is, which is a little unusual, is bringing it to you before we know that we will be awarded, and we don't know which projects will be awarded, so we're not exactly sure how much the match will be that we're looking for. But what we're requesting is your support for the submission, which is important to the application. We need to show that the public entity supports the submission of these grants, and that if awarded, the public entity would find or would identify the 20% match. So the list of projects from the highway side is attached to the resolution, and we are showing road weather safety systems, some ITS equipment for the Fancy Gap area of I-77. We are also showing the phase two of the Meadowville interchange. Then also the Fredericksburg District 6 is showing Route 360 at Route 698. It's the county administrator from Northland County is indicating their request for this project. It would be intersection improvements and turn lanes on Route 698. What we tried to do is a mix of technology, rural projects, and urban projects, bridge, and various things. We also have a planning study. A planning grant is available through the Tiger II application process this time. So we also are looking for I-81 quarter prioritization study and preliminary design on I-81. And this would provide what we're calling a Tier 1 environmental impact statement and fund design on high priority needs on I-81. So we're trying to put that together. We don't know quite yet how much we want to submit, but we're working on that, and we'll have that ready to go out. We also are looking to replace South Fork Bridge replacement. That's a ready-to-go bridge project. One of the other requirements of this Tiger II application project is that NEPA is either almost complete or complete for these projects. They're really looking, except for the planning grants, they're looking for construction activity work that, even though it's not a jobs grant program, they are looking for the NEPA to be done and us to be ready to hit the ground running when the grants are awarded. We're also looking at another technology, I-66, active traffic and shoulder lane management equipment, and that's something Connie Sorrell and her group have been reviewing and looking at for that corridor. So we've got that project. And we're also looking at the possibility of widening Telegraph Road adjacent to Port Belvoir. So we have a mix. They're in various sections of the state, and these projects, we're really not looking to submit anything that's more than about $40 million. If you'll recall the last application process, the awards, there was only one that was over $100 million and one that was slightly less than $100 million, and everything was in the 30 to 40 million range. They're trying to spread the projects across the country. They're trying to get as much money as they can. This discretionary grant program is only $600 million, which is approximately half of the prior grant program, which was $1.5 billion. So there's a lot less money to go around. And as I had indicated, we're required to find the match on these where the match wasn't required before. So I'm looking for approval of the resolution giving support for us to submit these projects for Tiger II grants.
So moved.
For a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Just a quick question. What's the 66 thing?
It is... project will cover I-66 between mile 49 and mile 65, so that's between 29 and 495. Mm-hmm. Will provide active traffic management signals to tragic signals over all lanes, including HOV lanes, and for shoulder operations east of US 50, providing real-time variable speed limit information and lane use displays, plus electronic cue warning signage. Basically, it's signage to let the traffic know what is happening ahead. Whether
I can tell them that
the
right now, it's congested.
Well, stop. Part of this is you don't need a sign. Well, this is hopefully will give them a little bit more information far enough ahead for them to make alternative take alternative options to the congestion. Whether it's an accident, congestion, but they'll let you know what the traffic speed is going on average.
40 miles ahead.
All right, thank you very much.
I'm sorry.
Take the next item.
Well, just the one thing that I would say is it would, one of the features of it would be different in that it would have a variable electronic speed limits. So as traffic is congested ahead and we know we need to slow people down, there would be, you know, this is being used in Europe and some other places, and it's very effective in helping to manage congestion. And so there are some new traffic management strategies that new technologies will provide, and this would be a showcase project in the nation. Only one other place in the country is doing it.
Speed limit you put up there, but that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
More from 12 to 10 miles an hour.
All right, Corey.
Sorry.
We didn't vote yet, did we?
I thought we did.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah, we did. Mark said we voted.
Yeah, we voted.
Okay. Corey, next item.
So, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, you've got a second resolution that's the exact same topic, asking for the similar authorization for DRPT. We're also going to be submitting, with your authority, a Tiger II pre-application and application, same time frame. The context of ours is related to multimodal improvements that will enhance mobility in Hampton Roads area. This will be done in concert with the downtown Midtown tunnel project that VDOT has. We're putting in some mobility improvements and some options down there in cooperation with VDOT on that project. We're getting together all the information with Hampton Roads Transit, City of Norfolk, City of Portsmouth in terms of the dollars. Don't have them yet, but we will have them obviously soon. So looking for a similar authorization.
We'll move approval.
Is there a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Item is approved. Thank you very much. I apologize for so many items on the new business. These were kind of last-minute items. We were trying to get ready for these Tiger grants. Trying to meet all of the criteria related to the grants and getting the input from the district. So I apologize for those last-minute items, and we'll try to limit that in the future. If there are no other items for the board, and I will turn to me.
Just one question on the hospital signage policy. What are we doing? Have we got a committee looking into that? Or
yes, Connie, you're still here?
Yes.
Do we?
Connie, we have the question is on the hospital signage. You have been meeting with.
I didn't ask it.
I owe you lunch.
Quick summary.
Yes, there.
It's unlikely.
like I said.
I don't really need that anyway.
It's ready to go.
Just turn it off, man.
Tape's over.
Okay. All right. Step away.
Step away from the mic. We have meetings with Mrs. Carter and people from the Pennsylvania Regional Hospital there was a very different situation with those funds compared to the funds for Culpeper Regional Hospital. So I can just give you a lot of some of the differences. So we're working on a number of solutions, and I think we have found a way to accommodate the funds in different ways. We provide all sorts of different kinds of jobs in the hospital association, and I am a regional business.
So you've had a number of meetings, and
yes, so with the university and the medical hospital there.
And we're going to come back to the board with a review of where we are. So
attorneys of the hospital association, they actually have a committee, and one of the issues I will just mention is there is quite a dispute within the hospital community over the use of these aid funds for full-fledged hospitals that have emergency rooms versus sort of a standalone emergency room. Even though it is 24/7, which is what we require, it's still not a facility that you could go there and have some major trauma and then move into a hospital portion of it or something like that. So that's an industry institution. If they want to do something different, they need to, I'll work with them because they have to develop a proposal for you all.
Okay.
And Mr. King asked the question.
All right, that was
he
it.
He might have something different.
Okay, that's a quick summary. If there are no other items, then.
One other item, Mr. Chairman. As chairman of the subcommittee on the Route 29 corridor study, I'd like to ask that the chairman appoint our two newest members of the board from Culpeper District and at large become members of that committee. That way we can continue our work before the September meeting.
Okay. All right. We'll do that.
Second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
That's you, James.
Okay, any other items? Okay, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.